Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. Today we're going to be talking about a subject matter, sign language. And you may say to yourself, Donna, why in the world are you talking about sign language on a radio show, for heaven's sake? We can't see what you're doing. Well, that's true. But through the power of words and through the wonderful, wonderful, talented lady that we have as a guest, Christine Jenkins, I think you're going to find this interview quite fascinating. Christine, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you.
Your video, as I was telling you before we came on air, is absolutely excellently done.
Thank you.
It's titled Sign Language for Everyone, How to Talk to a Person Who Cannot Hear. Now,
yes, it's the world's longest title.
Yeah, but it's really great.
Well, thank you. You know, it came out as a VHS first because we didn't have DVD at the time that I produced it, and it was called How to Talk to a Person Who Can't Hear, which I thought was a very descriptive title, which is a horrible title because when Internet got very, very popular, people search under the word sign language, which is not in my title. So when it came out as a DVD, it's now called Sign Language for Everyone, : How to Talk to a Person Who Can't Hear, the world's longest title.
This, I felt, was so significant. There are so many individuals, and you have stories about different people, and we'll talk about them in a moment. People can become deaf through various physical situations. There's a woman that I knew that was, my goodness, she has to be in her 90s today. She flew bombers during the Second World War, which caused her to lose part of her hearing, and then she ended up getting sick and was given a medication that blew the rest of her hearing away.
Yeah.
So she was deaf because of a series of circumstances, and she was an amazing woman. And
well,
I can recall when she finally got a machine that enabled her to communicate via telephone. Tell us how people can go deaf, because we know a lot of noises.
This is a fact. All these statistics and facts I give are not things that I've made up to help boost my sales. They are actual statistic facts you can find on the Internet and a lot of research papers. The number one growing health disability in America is hearing loss.
Mm-hmm.
This society in particular is going deaf at a rapid rate because we're the generation that first got Walkmans and you put them in your ears and you play them too loudly, and we went to Rolling Stones concerts, and, you know, concerts have not calmed down since they figured out how to do wall of sound.
Yeah.
So
worse.
People now, young kids with all the earbuds, and our society is very noisy, machinery, I mean, just weed whackers and leaf blowers in the neighborhood I live in drive me insane. They're so loud.
Mm-hmm.
So this society is very much going deaf. People have woofers in their cars. They listen to music. You can hear the car four cars back.
Right.
That person is going to be deaf by the time they're 40. They just are. So they need another form of communication, which is sign language. So that video that I created is not for deaf people, because deaf people know how to sign.
Mm-hmm.
It's for hearing people to learn to sign, because you have a deaf friend, or you might want to be an interpreter, or your neighbor, or your coworker, or someone you know is deaf, or someone you're dating is deaf, and you need to learn to sign. So that was the first thing, was like, gosh, these families, they have deaf children, and they don't even know how to sign to them. And when I started this work, there was this horrible statistic from the National Association of the Deaf, that of all parents who have deaf children, 50% of the mothers knew how to communicate with the child, and only 5% of fathers. They did not learn sign language. Yes. So we've had all these generations of families where there's very little communication amongst the parents of the deaf child because they had to find a way to learn sign language. Classes aren't so often taught, even in big cities. I'm in Los Angeles right now. There's two colleges that give classes occasionally, and that's it. So I love my fan mail. I love the fact that there was a family in a rural part of California that dubbed me the sign language angel because they have a child who's the only deaf child in an entire rural community, and they did not want her to grow up in a bubble and only be able to communicate with the parents. So the parents, thank God, they purchased 20 videos and they passed them out throughout the community so that everyone could learn, and this child could live a normal life.
Amazing story. Now, you have a number of people in your video, and again, the quality of this is so good because you have the segments in the DVD, and this wonderful man, Anthony Natale, he was born deaf, but he said the average individual, if they learned 150 words, that it enables you to communicate with a deaf person, and of course, he starts off with the alphabet. Well, what is so special about your video is that he will do the signs, and then you have the caption underneath. So it's kinesthetic, it's the audio, and you know, it's the visual. You have all of these modalities that you are utilizing in this video, which I think makes it a wonderful, wonderful teaching tool.
Thank you.
This something that surprised me when I watched the video is that Anthony says on the video that babies can be taught to do signing. I mean, we've taught gorillas. I guess we could teach babies to sign. This is like a universal language. Tell us about babies and teaching them to sign.
Yeah, it's a really well-known fact now. It's really big in parenting communities to teach your hearing baby sign language from birth. Start signing to them immediately. Babies, let's just go back. What is man's first language? What did caveman do? They pointed and they grunted. And they made scary faces, and they pointed outside, big scary animal, run this way. They did sign language. Sign language is our original language. It is still stored in all of our human beings' brains in the occipital region of the brain. It's still stored there. So babies have not folded that up yet to become verbal. So you sign to a baby, they pick it right up, they sign right back. There are statistics, there's letters that people's children can sign 3 to 7 months before they can ever speak a word, but they can sign back their feelings. Hearing
now,
babies.
That is amazing.
It's incredible.
Yes.
It's my favorite thing to lecture on. I'm giving a big lecture in Seattle a week from today on October 15th. The Fun and Fascination of Sign Language, why every American should learn it. It's my favorite thing to lecture on because it is the most fascinating language in the world. And I didn't know it at all. I did not have any experience of a deaf person. I'm a Hollywood writer, create things. And I saw the movie Mr. Holland's Opus. This is now really going back. So it's going back 13 years, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And towards the end of the movie, it's the Richard Dreyfuss movie, wonderful movie. Towards the end of the movie, this handsome man came on the screen playing the adult deaf actor, son of Richard Dreyfuss. And the second he came on the screen, I had this spiritual epiphany where I felt held in my chair and I heard pay attention in my ears. It was very direct. And it was, you know, it was like, whoa, pay attention to the deaf guy? What am I supposed to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it haunted me. So I thought about this man that I didn't know, this actor, for 5 days. I finally wrote him a letter, said, here is who I am. This is what I do. If you're ever in Los Angeles, I'd love to take you for lunch. I don't know why. I need to meet you. Don't know why. Please contact me. And he did. He contacted me through what at that time was the only form of communication to the hearing via telephone, was called text type, relay
mm-hmm.
system.
Mm-hmm.
And he contacted me. And We you know, spoke on the phone, made an appointment to meet the next day. So I ran out to Blockbuster to rent a video to teach sign language to me. So I knew some words to be polite. Clearly, he speaks well. He reads lips. He's incredibly functional in the hearing world. But I wanted to learn some signs and discovered that there were no videos made for the general public to learn sign language. I couldn't rent something. I couldn't buy something. I couldn't order something. There was nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember standing in this video store, kind of the spotlight moment. Spotlight comes on you. And I thought, this is what I have to do with the inheritance that I had received. My wonderful parents had died a couple years before, and I had a $100,000 inheritance, and I wasn't sure what I was going to do with it, probably something selfish like buy a house or something. And I committed, before I even met him, the entire $100,000 to create the first video to teach signing to the general public. That was my mission.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well,
so,
you did it.
Now, I did it.
Yes, and one of the things, too, that Anthony brings out is that signing is very good to learn for older people.
Yes.
Because so many of them lose their capacity for communication. We have a member in our family who was in the military, and his hearing has deteriorated so badly, and often when he's in meetings, he's a business person, he misses a great deal of the communication that goes on, and so he'll misinterpret things.
Yep.
And he's gotten pretty good at lip reading, I believe, because I observed him. But certain tonalities he actually has lost. So this is something that perhaps will assist him in some way. And I thought of him and I went, wow, he could easily lose all of his hearing, not unlike my friend Dorothy, who flew the bombers in World War II, if he got a certain medication, things happen. And then he would just feel so devalued. He'd feel like everything was gone and lost. And this
I feel sorry for this man. I have to tell you, people say, oh, poor little deaf people. It's like, no, I'm sorry. I don't feel sorry for deaf people. I know them. They're great. They have deaf people have their own culture. Deaf people have their own language. It's the only disability with your own language and your own history and your own culture. And they're fully functional. The person that I actually feel sorry for and have tremendous sympathy for are people, hearing people losing their hearing because they're caught just exactly like this poor guy that you mentioned, just trying to live in a hearing world and be part of meetings and be in it, but not quite anymore and missing a lot and misinterpretation and that it's difficult to, you know, I don't know how many years we'd have to go back. But there used to be a time where you'd be losing your eyesight and, oh, my gosh, I don't want to wear glasses. What a stigma if I wear glasses. I won't be pretty if I wear glasses. And hearing people losing their hearing, they don't want to flip over into sign language because then their identification changes to deaf, which they're not. And it's a real struggle. And that's why, actually, the lecture I'm giving next Thursday, I'm thrilled about because it's at the ALDA convention, which stands for Association of Late Deafened Adults, because this is such a huge thing happening now. If anyone wants to look that up, please let me say go to signlanguagevideo.com, signlanguagevideo.com, and there's a lecture button there, and you'll see that come up.
Mm-hmm.
This is an international convention. So this is an organization that's really trying to reach out and find people losing their hearing and saying, come on, we'll show you different ways of communication. It's a three-day thing, and there's a lot of information they have to share. I'm just kind of one little teeny part of it. But it is a very difficult position that your friend is in, and sign language itself, I think it's easier. You're like your friend Dorothy. She was hearing, and then she became deaf, and then if you pick up sign language, it's much easier because you understand language. You understand sentences and language. And deaf people raised deaf are not sentence-oriented. They're concept-oriented. They speak in pictures. They actually sign in pictures. They sign concepts. And I'll give you just a tiny little example. There's a famous book for children, for deaf children, called Train Sorry Go. That's the name of the title. That's the book, Train Sorry Go. Because if this little deaf girl misses a train. So a hearing person says a long sentence, oh, I'm so sorry, little girl, the train has already left the station. Way too many words. Way too many words to lip read. And finally the station master kind of charade figures out how to point, and he says, train, sorry, go. Mm-hmm. And the child gets it. Oh, the train already left. Okay, I got it. Very simple picture words. Train, go, sorry. Train, sorry, go. Any of those combinations are correct. So it's often why people think a deaf person is dumb, because their vocabulary is in little teeny segments as opposed to all of our lengthy, wordy sentences that I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I got it. All right, now with your video, again, you have the different segments. It talks about different applications of different words. There's this that goes on. And you talk about oralism and signing together, and mainstreaming. And these are different applications. What is mainstreaming?
Mainstreaming is really popular right now for deaf kids are going to high school, elementary, junior, and high school with hearing kids, and they're in the same classroom together. And at the front of the classroom is a speaking teacher who speaks, and the hearing kids hear her just like regular old classroom. And the interpreter is signing for the deaf children in the same classroom. So that's called mainstreaming. It's very popular in America now, especially it's really popular here in L.A. There are several schools who do that. You can go through the entire curriculum and be mainstreamed. And what's interesting is, of course, the hearing kids pick up sign language. They just know it because they're seeing it in front of them in the classroom.
Now let's talk about some of the equipment that's available. And I mentioned my friend Dorothy and how thrilled she was when she finally got a unit she could have in her antique store. And she was able to communicate with her family or with other people using a particular relay mechanism. And at that time, the computerization.
Probably tech type machine.
Yes. So what is available for people today? I mean, I know we have texting on cell phones.
That's what it's come to. I mean, there were people doing incredible technology for the deaf who were really creating some out-of-the-box things just, 6 years ago that were kind of like, oh my gosh, my deaf friend got this thing called a Wintel, and it's on his belt like a cell phone, but it comes up in text, and it was amazing technology, and it was developed for the deaf. That's what it was developed for, and then it got picked up by the mainstream, and it's what everyone has, in cell phones. So now a deaf person can jump right over and use hearing technology. Obviously, they're very good on the Internet. In early days, 12 years ago, I used to say to employers, you've got to hire a deaf person. They type really well. All of their phone conversations are typing. They're really good.
That's right. That's right. And texting, of course, is done with the fingers. And
that's right.
So all of that is just absolutely amazing. Now, with Anthony, he speaks. Even though he's deaf, he has a voice. And one of the things he mentioned is that even though he's deaf, and a comment was made on the video, the video sign language for everyone, how to talk to a person who cannot hear, that they don't develop an accent, that you would never know where they were from because they've never heard an accent, but they learn to use their voice. And he is so good at it, most except for the S's.
Anthony is amazing. Now, Anthony Natale, this gorgeous, charismatic deaf actor who stars in the Sign Language for Everyone, he's an amazing guy. And I had a long conversation with his mother, and she feels that he was hearing in the womb, that he was meant to be a hearing child. But he was born in a rural part of Canada, and the doctor hadn't come in yet, and there was a problem during the delivery, and a nurse put her fingers in his ears to pull him out of the womb. And so when he came out, he was deaf. So he seems to associate in the world as a hearing person. But nevertheless, he was a deaf child. He was a deaf baby, deaf child. He's a deaf man. And there's no reason that he should be able to speak so well, and he speaks with alliteration. You know, Marley Matlin, who's an amazing actress, has a fairly typical deaf voice. She talks like this, and not all the consonants around it, and it's pretty much straightforward. And she's a great actress. I mean, I love Marley. And here's Anthony, who actually empirically understands that hello is funnier than saying hello. He just understands it. So his voice has so much life and character, and it's funny, and he's funny. He's amazing. So
he really is. Another person that you have in your film is a hearing impaired comedian, Kathy Buckley.
Yeah.
And she's not totally deaf, but she has, what was her situation where she became hearing impaired?
I have no Kathy, and I can't actually remember why. She's always been hard of hearing.
Mm-hmm.
She's always been hard of hearing. And I will just say to your listeners who've heard me say the word deaf many times and they've been startled by it, that's actually the correct term.
Mm-hmm.
A person is either deaf or they're hard of hearing. And only the government and newspapers say the word hearing impaired. No one else, none of them ever say it.
Mm-hmm.
A deaf or hard of hearing person never, ever calls themselves hearing impaired. They're either deaf or they're hard of hearing. So I use those words, but it usually startles people because it sounds like I'm saying something bad. But that's just what they are.
Well, and I think that's good to have that clarity. Let's not put a negative on something that is a positive. I mean,
yeah.
In a sense of using accurate words. And when you're interacting with people who are deaf, that's what they are.
Yes, they're deaf. And they're not the least bit offended if you say that. That's what they are. And when I love being asked to come and give a workshop at a company that hired a deaf employee. For example, GTE down in Irving, Texas, they hired this one deaf employee for this big campus. And they thought, well, maybe we should have a sign language class just for the 10 people that work right around this guy. Ernie was
mm-hmm.
his name.
Mm-hmm.
And they sent out a campus-wide email saying, does anyone want to learn sign language? And they were startled to find that 100 people who will never even meet this guy signed up because they wanted to learn it. So they had
wow.
me come and do a workshop, and then they gave out the videos as the graduation present if you took the class.
That is amazing. But that shows you how people are open to learning, and they
yes.
see this as a value. Let's talk about Amy. Now, how old was Amy when you filmed the video? I mean, this young woman is amazing. She is a gymnast. I mean,
she's unbelievable.
Her story is incredible. You've got to share Amy's
yep.
story and how she became deaf.
So, okay, in the whole video is a teaching video, except for the very end, there's a documentary, like a 4-minute documentary section on this incredible gal who I adore named Amy Walker. She's now married. She's older. Her name is Amy Walker Pond, and she lives in Utah. She was born deaf. She was born blind in one eye. She had the cord wrapped around her neck 3 times. She doesn't have hip sockets. The doctors really said, you really might not want to, resuscitate her. And her parents did. Her parents are Mormon, and they chose to do that. And she would, run around the backyard and hold some kind of a walker kind of thing to try to help her walk normally. And she started to develop these muscles. And her cousin was taking a gymnastics class and couldn't go one day. And so Amy thought, well, I'll just take her place. And Amy became this incredible elite track gymnast, not the Special Olympics, on the U.S. Olympic team elite track.
Mm-hmm.
She missed it several times, but she was on the track. She was close, repeatedly close. She became this incredible gymnast. And, of course, all of her coaches learned to sign, and they stand over at the side of the exercise mat, and they sign to her, and they communicate with her that way. So she's a beautiful young lady. She's now very happily married. But she was 15. She was 15 when she was in the video.
Well, she was just a little itty-bitty thing, which most gymnasts are. They're very small.
Yeah, she is.
But to watch her perform and to hear her story about when she's doing the floor exercises, I mean, she was so outstanding. She couldn't hear anything.
She does very well on floor exercise. She better not miss anything because then she can't find her place in the music. So she just doesn't miss anything.
Mm-hmm. She's amazing.
Talk about a competitive edge. She stands there and her coach signals her, at the first tick of the music so she knows when to start.
She's got the method down because I'm hearing the music. I'm watching her perform and I'm going, she can't hear. You'd never know it.
Yep.
And that's what she said. People
yep.
that were watching her perform had no idea that she was deaf. But
right.
the fact that she's blind in one eye as well, and she has to compensate with the other eye, this is just an amazing, amazing young person that has just done. I was just so thrilled to hear her story.
And of course, the hardest discipline for her, and where she always was falling off of making the top team, was balance beam. Inner ear. Mm-hmm. We're all off balance if we have a sinus infection and one of our ears is off. Mm-hmm. And so she doesn't even have enough hearing to even bother to wear hearing aids, which might give her some kind of sense of a balance. I mean, Anthony, for example, all the way through the video, he has hearing aids in. And someone said to me, why does he wear them? And I said, just for equilibrium. It's like if you're sitting in your kitchen at night and you're quiet, you hear the hum of the refrigerator, just something. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? It's like a hum field. Mm-hmm. He hears that. So if he's in front of me with his back to me and I call out to him, Anthony, he doesn't hear Anthony. He hears these three breaks in his hum field, and so he knows someone's saying something. He turns around.
But Amy didn't have that.
No, she has zero. They put her in a room and blasted it up to where, you should cringe and turn over and die from the decibel level, and she's just sitting there doing her nails and she doesn't hear anything. So balance beam is very hard for her because she doesn't have that equilibrium.
Fascinating. One of the points that was brought out in the video, and I thought my listeners might enjoy knowing this, if there is a deaf person in your environment, and you give a wonderful example with Anthony going into a store, he's looking at some picture frames, his back is to the man who owns the store when he comes out, because he calls out saying, is there anyone here?
Right.
And of course, they might have heard him, but he turns away and he
right.
cannot hear them. So finally, there is a woman that goes up to him and she touches him.
Right.
And then he responds, but she didn't know he was deaf. And then
right.
he tells her, I'm deaf. And then
right.
she goes, oh. So that's something I think we should address, because times people will feel embarrassed and they should.
Yes. Yes. And they just want you to look them right in the face and they want
mm-hmm.
to watch your lips. But what's interesting is I have a friend that I taught Sunday school to a long time ago, who's a police officer in North Hollywood, California. And he took a very early copy of the video into work, and they added to the sort of interactive police training program a situation by where the perpetrator does not turn around when you keep calling him. They want to see what the police officers do, and some of them shoot at the person.
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out to be a deaf person. So that's one of the tests that they put people through, is to see how you'll react.
Definitely.
You know, how the police officer will react by calling and calling and calling and having somebody not turning around, and then taking the moment to consider it could be a deaf person.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. So. There's so many aspects. Your video, again, is just wonderful. Sign language for everyone. How to talk to a person who can't hear. Now, I know we're just about out of time. I want to mention your website, signlanguagevideo.com.
I appreciate that.
Oh, yes. Now, if any of you who are listening are, if you are a teacher, if you're involved with schools in any way, this is a marvelous, marvelous teaching tool. And if you know of someone who is elderly, who needs to learn how to sign because their hearing is going and they're feeling isolated, I think one of the saddest things you ever see is when someone's losing their hearing, they go into that state of denial.
Yeah.
And there's a very dear friend of mine who, he was losing his hearing, and it was so embarrassing for him that he retreated. And with him, he had enough hearing where hearing aids helped him, but then he had to go through a huge adjustment with that because his hearing had retreated so much that when he actually got to a level where he was going to be able to hear, he thought he was going to go crazy because everything was so loud.
Yeah.
So,
I did want to say, I'm sorry, Donna.
Go ahead.
Cut you off. I wanted to say two quick things. I do appreciate it when people actually order from us directly, since I'm the producer and anyone else
mm-hmm.
who sells it has to get it from me, which obviously cuts our profit way in half. I can only be charitable. I can only give to deaf empowerment charities if people buy it from our website, where I can make the full amount so that I can give 30% away. If you buy it on Amazon or whatever, I can't do it. Because Amazon takes a lot.
I know. That's right.
That's going to take a lot. And the last little thing is for senior citizens, this is the most fascinating new piece of research being done, that if you learn to sign, like in your 50s and 60s when you're completely mentally together, you will not go into early onset Alzheimer's. There is no history of deafness, of Alzheimer's amongst deaf people.
Amazing.
It's amazing because it's a man's original language. So you reopen up that part of your brain that shut down when you learned how to speak. And that keeps you, it just keeps you alive and keeps you young. It's such an amazing language. I love it.
Christine, this has been a delight. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Go to her website, signlanguagevideo.com. We all know of someone that will benefit, and if nothing else, think of yourself. Because, hey, you're going to want to communicate, and you may meet a new friend that has a hearing disability, or they are deaf, use that word, it's not a bad word to use, and you will find that you can communicate. It'll open up a whole new world. Signlanguagevideo.com. Christine, again, thank you for being my guest. We're taking
thank
a break.
You,
we're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, TTAP.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's TTAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, TTAP.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and I'm so delighted that we're going to be able to open up the phone lines right now. By the way, if you'd like to call in and chat with me directly, those lines, again, are open worldwide, toll-free. The telephone number is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, we're going to be showing you with our first caller how it's done, but before I go to that caller, I want to mention 2 things. 1, I'm going to be broadcasting from the magnificent state of Alaska. I'm going to be in Fairbanks as well as Anchorage. So all of the broadcasts will be live from that special part of the world. So if you're in Fairbanks or you're in Anchorage, give me a call. if you would like to set up for a private meeting with me, a consultation. The telephone number at my office is 800-872-8852. And then on Saturday, November the 21st, I'm going to be doing an appearance in the city of Tacoma at King's Book. This is for a wonderful family event, the Dickens Festival. This is done every year just before the holidays, and it is terrific. So I'll be at King's Books from 12 noon until 4 in the afternoon. Go to Dickens Festival, and you will find in Tacoma, Washington, you'll get all the information about all the special events that are going on. I'll be at King's Book. I will be doing many consultations from 12 noon until 4, and then part of those proceeds will be going towards a specific charity in the local area. So I did want to take care of that. Let's go to our first caller for the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna.
Hi.
Oh, okay, I'm on, I guess. This is Amy from the state of Maine.
Where are you in Maine, Amy?
I'm in Emden, a little town in the western mountains, actually in the foothills. And I'd spoken to you actually when I lived in Fairbanks for many years. I just heard your little going back to Fairbanks, and I thought, I wish I were too.
You know, Alaska, doesn't Alaska have a magic to it?
It certainly does. I had to come back here due to a death in the family, unfortunately, but I sure would like to head back there.
I'll tell you, there is something that has called to me. I've been traveling up there for almost 30 years now. It's hard for me to believe that, and I have people that look at me like I'm nuts saying, Alaska, that's on another planet somewhere. But there's just something so special about that state, the people. It's just, to me, it almost has a magic to it that I can no more describe than a man in the moon, but I love it with all my heart.
Absolutely.
Now, Amy, I'm going to give you information. So I notice we just have a tiny, tiny bit of time delay, so just be aware of that. Now, Amy, the first thing I'm looking at in my mind is paperwork. And I'm seeing you saying to yourself, it's like you're sighing, saying, I wonder if I'm ever going to get to the bottom of this stack. Yes, you will. I'd like to encourage you to perhaps consider having someone assist you with whatever this paperwork is relating to, because it is detailed. There is a time factor relative to it that needs to be paid attention to. It's sort of like doing taxes, you know, by the 15th of April, you got to have everything in, or you file for an extension. So there's a time deadline. And I think that you've been going through a lot of stress relative to this, and you would just as soon lay the stress to rest. Well, if you can ask for help and go through everything methodically, it will come together very quickly, and you'll be able to meet your time deadline. Now, you are going to be considering relocating. I know you just mentioned about going to Alaska, but I don't know that you're going to be going back to Alaska. I think you're going to be moving either into the southwestern area of the country or maybe even California, and that might surprise you. But I think you're going to want to be in warmer temperatures. And this is something I'm looking at 3 to 4 years that I think you're going to be making a decision about, and there will be both employment opportunity as well as a sense of a solid economic base for you that is going to be very significant. So I encourage you to be aware of the fact that there are those changes coming, even though you may feel like you are sort of stuck right at this moment. Take care of what needs to be taken care of, because the circumstances for change are evolving slowly but surely in 2010, and you're going to be able to see some very good choices in front of you. By the way, your lower back and your knees are giving you a problem, and you need to be aware that you have to have some kind of a physical exercise program that's going to not put stress on those areas but help you to strengthen your muscles, because those muscles, if they do not get strengthened, you're going to have some problems, and you don't need to go out and try to be a female Schwarzenegger, All you need to do is small things and build up. So Tai Chi, Qigong would be very good. I recommend TTAP, and you'll hear Teresa this month when she's on, if you have a chance to listen to her or any of the previous broadcasts with her. It's absolutely marvelous. I just got back from her retreat, and I've seen results with people that just had horrific problems physically, and this has really helped. But anyway, anything along those lines that's going to be gently strengthening your muscles will be your advantage. Do you have a question for me?
Well, I do. I'm selling the house that I own, and whether I would put it on the market now and have success in the fall or the spring.
More likely the spring, because there is some work that you still want to do with your place, and I'd much rather see you finish what you think you need to finish, even though it's little stuff. Take care of that and get the stress off of you. Take care of any processing of papers or whatever it is that you need to take care of, and then put the house up.
Thank you very much, and it was so great to hear your voice again, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Well, you can always reach me by phone. Have phone. Donna can be reached. That's all I can say there. Now, Amy, it's just such a delight, and I'm so glad that there is still the connection. You have a great evening now.
You too. Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome, Amy. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, the telephone number to call in to is 888-815-9756. Now, that is a worldwide number, so you can call in from anywhere in the world. I wanted to share with you a story about a woman that I think is quite special, and after our next caller, perhaps after our break, I will share how one person can make a difference. It's so important to keep that in mind. One person doing what they love to do most and giving what they have to give in the best way possible. It has a ripple effect. It's awesome, and I want to share with you about a story that I came across. Let's go to our next caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Hi, Donna. This is Pat in Connecticut.
Okay, Pat, tell me, where in Connecticut?
New Haven.
New Haven. All right. Now, Pat, what I'm looking at is a disappointment with a friend. Now, when I'm observing you, I think that the disappointment is going to be felt by you because there is an expectation you will have of this friend, and it's as if they drop the ball. And you're thinking to yourself, oh, they should have done this, I've done this for them, I've done that for them, and you go on this mental carousel that is just agitating you, and I want to say turn off the mental carousel. Get off of the horse that you've been riding on that carousel and just make it okay. This is an individual that I think has a lot on their plate. They are not as together as you are. And consequently, when you would go to them to say, I need your help or I would love for you to assist me in something, it's as if their mind goes blank because they are so engrossed with where they are. Give them a chance to respond, but make the request in the way of a suggestion. And, for example, if you really needed to have help with a garage sale, this is a silly example, but it'll get the point across. You might say to them, I'm going to be putting on a garage sale, and I'm looking for some volunteers. I sure would appreciate you being able to be there, if it is at all possible, and the reason is that I have such confidence in you, and I know you do such a good job of keeping an eye on things with my talking to people, etc. I'm going to be calling some other people, but would you let me know if this is something you can do? And they might say, oh, my goodness, I couldn't possibly do it. And you may say to yourself, oh, shoot, why not? I've helped you out with your 45 garage sales. So what you would say to them then is, well, just keep it in mind, and if it should work out for you, I sure would like your support. And leave it at that. Don't allow the disappointment in their first response to you to drag you down, because this is a person that has to think about something for quite a long time. And then all of a sudden they may pop up at the garage sale. You go, wow, how nice of you. And you say, yeah, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it, but you know what? The more I thought about it, and that's what you hear from this person. So this isn't a person you want to wash out as a friend. You just need to understand that they have a different thinking process and a different response process than you do. And it's not good, it's not bad, it's just different. You've got some new friends that you're going to be acquiring, which I think is great because it is opening up your world. And you are going to find yourself interested in a class that is going to bring you in contact with a whole new group of people, and I'm seeing you sort of quivering on the inside about going to the class. I'm going to say, don't quiver. You don't need to quiver. Nobody there is going to know any more than you do, and it's going to be fun to go through the growing pattern that will come with the class. So be patient with yourself. Enjoy the next few months. Lighten up. Stop beating yourself over the head because you don't feel like you're keeping up with your standard. Do it one, do what you can, one day at a time, dear, and you're going to get everything done. Do you have a question for me, Pat?
Oh, that sounds great. Thank you. I actually was wondering if you see a mate in the future.
Well, I think there could be a very good companion, but when you say a mate, I'm assuming you're talking about marriage, and I'm seeing you so skittish about marriage. I think it's going to take quite a while for you to get past that hurdle. Unless you are willing to let go of the past and some experiences that have been there. If you wish to be married, why is it we don't like to use the M word? Married. Married.
Oh, I'll say that. I'll say that. I'd be happy to be married. Yeah.
Okay. If you want to be married, then that's what you need to keep your focus on, that you really want to have that partner, that mate, using your word, and you're looking for marriage. You don't just want to have a companion, and you just need to keep your options open and keep participating in life in new environments so you have a chance to meet people. And don't be afraid of blind dates. I have to chuckle because I see a friend of yours saying, have I got the guy for you? And you're going to go on a couple of these blind dates, and you're going to go, oh, please, I don't need another one of your specials.
That sounds good.
But you go ahead and enjoy your life, dear, but stay active and be sure that you go through your wardrobe every once in a while, and those things that really don't suit you are no longer appropriate for you. Give them away. It's all right to make space in your closet for some new things.
I'm just starting that. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Thanks for your call, Pat. This is Donna Sebo. We've got to take a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com. That 800 number again, 872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna, and telephone lines are still open, 888-815-9756 is that worldwide number. I want to let you know about some of the guests that are coming up next week. We've got a great lineup. We're going to be talking on Monday about going out green. Yes. Now, this is a topic, it's really going to sound a little strange. It's about green burials. And Bob Butts is just a hoot, so we're going to be talking with him on Monday. Gary Spinell is going to be my guest. His book is titled It Was You All Along. This is a very personally empowering publication, and if you are interested in motivating yourself, then this is a must read. And then if you like to deal with money, Lisa Sherwin has just got a delightful title for her, So Many Shoes, So Little Money. Well, we'll learn about quality finance with shoes, believe it or not. And then for those of you that are very interested in nutrition, Raw for Dessert, Jennifer Kornbleet is going to be my guest. It's amazing to me how you can have foods put together that are not processed and have not been cooked, and it still can be delicious. So we'll be talking about that. So have your pads of paper handy because you may want to write down some of the recipes. And then Chuck Olino, his book, Lesser Known Giants of the 20th Century, is fascinating. We're going to learn about the man who originated the Bank of America, all kinds of people. You'd recognize the names, many of them, but they never were what you'd call the big ahas as far as media was concerned. But they are going to be talked about. So we've got a great lineup. And, again, I'm going to be broadcasting from Alaska all of next week. So I invite you, tell your friends. The shows, well, they go on because of the wonders of technology and because of our great engineer, Don, at bbsradio.com and his associate, Seth. They make sure that the shows go on regardless of where we are. Now, I wanted to share a story with you about a lady named Shirley Ann Kinder Martin. Now, she lives in Georgia. She wanted to be able to help people. She wanted to assist those that had less than what she had. She read an article in her local paper about a woman's shelter, and she said it really touched her because of the stories of women and children and the difficult times they were going through, and that many times these women and children showed up at the shelter with nothing but the clothes that they were wearing. And she said she decided she wanted to help. So she started doing some shopping. And any time she saw things that were 2-for-1 or special sales, she would she'd go out and do the shopping. Then if there were the 2-for-1 sales with groceries, let's say canned goods, pasta, what she would do is do one for herself and then put one free item in a box in her pantry. So she had this box that she set up. So any 2-for-1 sale she came across, one for me, one for you, that's what she did. And she decided it was so easy to do this. In fact, this box in her pantry filled up so quickly, she was amazed. So she, as soon as that box is filled, she has a personal touch that she decides she's going to add. If she's done any canning, she puts some canned goods in there. If she does any baking, then she puts baked goods in there. And then she calls the shelter, and the shelter comes over and picks up the box. And she said one of the most important things is that she puts a note in with every box that the shelter picks up to distribute to the women and children. She always says, I let them know that they're in my prayers and that they are loved. She always has a very pretty card or a note that is included with what she gives. She said, sharing is about making people happy, and if we open our hearts to others, it just is going to bless us in so many different ways. And I think that is a terrific attitude. What would it take just to fill up a box? Maybe you have clothes in your closet that you want to get rid of. Maybe there are toys your children have had. A local women's shelter is a good one. And I know I've talked with many women that have gone through horrific abuse. And what they need in the way of protection, they arrive at the shelters battered. So their children are terrified, they're terrified, and it is a very scary situation to be in. And when you don't have anything and you have thoughtful people like this lovely lady Shirley Ann Kinder Martin doing what she's doing, and there's so many thousands of others throughout the country and the world that are just as thoughtful, when you do that, believe me, it comes back full circle. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know we're just about out of time. I'm so delighted you were able to join me today. And for those of you that perhaps know people who have hearing problems, who have challenges in this way with friends or family, if you're a teacher, be sure you go to signlanguagevideo.com because this video is absolutely amazingly well done and it will bless just anybody and everybody who sees it. Donna Sebo here. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. Thank you so much for being with me wherever you are. Have a fabulous weekend and know that you're loved and you're blessed beyond your wildest dreams. Enjoy. We'll be back here, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. This is Donna Sebo, Station 1. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.